Hey, you guys, welcome to the Horse Trader's Diary. I'm Tara Sanders, and I have
Charlie Plate.
Charlie Plate with me, and somebody needs to put their safety belt on.
Both of us.
So we are en route today from Midland to Odessa again, and my pants are in.
I told you that.
When?
When you got out of the trailer.
Who knew?
Me.
I was walking around with my Peter hanging out. Okay, so we're en route from Midland to Odessa again. So yesterday, we podcasted on our way. So I guess, one, I should update you. I made a really decent run. Videos are online, so don't worry. You're not going to miss anything. They're on the Horse Trader's Diary YouTube. I haven't labeled them yet, but when I get home, I'll fix all that. So my goal yesterday was to go slower so that I could keep up and potentially not re-bruise all of the fat in my front upper.
Just now.
My fupa.
Stop.
So my belly button and right below it looks like somebody attacked me. But it's fine. I'm fine. So we went slower and she actually made a beautiful run. And I am so impressed with this mare to go from two completely different setups and to just nail her first barrel like it's her job.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to be a lot of fun. And I think that I've had horses before that I definitely didn't fit right away. And we ended up great, and this mare is actually getting really easy to ride quick. So, like, two runs, and I'm like, okay, I've got this. I did rubber band my feet in yesterday, so I didn't lose my stirrups leaving the second. Also, did not leave planet Earth for Mars after the second. But I think that she won first or second, I think in the 40s. So, but let me explain something. It's half splits here, so that's a second and a half off. And the reason I'm proud of that is because I would rather be over here, and this might sound crazy, but I would rather be in Odessa, Texas, running a second and a half off the best in the world than be at home running in the bottom of the 1B and think I'm shit. Like,
yeah.
And I've always told Charlie that. Like, I would rather go to the biggest competition with the toughest horses in the world and try to run with them, honestly.
Yeah.
And right now, she ran a 15.3 and a 15.0 is placing in the pro rodeo.
Well, people forget, too, is like, yeah, you can have a 1D local horse, but how many times did you run that horse in that same pen over and over and over again to be able to be a 1D horse there? If you can't, like, hang with the best of them, now, I mean, like, if you live in, like, Weatherford, you know, where all the horse people are, and you're running 1D local, that's one thing, because the pro girls are there, too. But I mean, where we're from, the 1D local girls think they're like it and
but,
all
but
there
the
was.
Problem, but the problem is when you run in the 1D local, like,
you take away from your horse.
Well, you do. And I'm just going to say this. I mean, I try to always base my runs off the arena record. And when I first met Charlie, she thought that was so bizarre. Like, that was so bizarre. Like, how bizarre? But I would tell her, like, the thing about it is there are girls that can come over here every single Tuesday night and run a 14, one or two on their horse. And the truth is, that's not really a 1D time because the arena record here is a 13.7.
Yeah.
And it was set by a pro rodeo girl that came in there right before the pro rodeo at a jackpot and ran that 13.7. And then I think it's been broke since then. But my point is that I wanted to know what I was running compared to the arena record. Not what am I running compared to tonight's times, because just because I ran in the 1D tonight, if tonight was won by somebody that ran a 14.2 and I ran a 14, you know, let's say I ran a 14.4, yes, I was in the 1D tonight, but I'm not going to be in the 1D if a real 1D horse shows up. So I'm a little different that way. Like I said, I'd rather drive all the way over here and run a second and a half off and know that's truthfully where I'm at. That's my starting point. Because this mare could make at least top of the 2D runs at home. Like, I could post results from home and be like, see, my mare ran top of the 2D at the local barrel race. And everybody would be so impressed. But at the end of the day, when you bring her to a world-class competition with the best in the world for two jackpots, she ran like a second off the first night. And it was actually just as tough. It was
all
just as tough.
Girls.
All the same girls. She just fired a lot harder, and we had a bigger mistake. Like, honestly, if she would have turned the third she had yesterday with the speed she had the first night, that mare could have probably run in the 2D against the toughest horses in the world. And yesterday, my goal was to just slow down. And it felt like she was loping. Like, I'll tell you, she's so long strided, you can't really tell the difference between her lope and her run, but I can feel it. Like, I just felt like we were loping, and I felt like I was a little bit ahead, which is great. That's where I needed to be, because that's how I'm going to get timing. I need to just get strong. And where I'm having trouble is getting into a 2-point, like picking my upper body up isn't the problem, but actually getting up with my legs. Like, I'm super weak. I was very shocked how weak I was. So we all want to wish Charlie luck today. Tell us about today, Charlie.
So today is my first rodeo.
Literally.
First pro rodeo. You know, Tara and I both bought our permits. I bought mine, and then I was like, okay, your turn. And she was like, oh, you really did it. And I was like, yes, I really did it. I told you.
So I bought my permit.
She bought her permit, and we are here. We're doing it. Blue and I had a phenomenal run in Midland Saturday night. You know, me and Tara, we got in at like 5 o'clock Saturday morning and just slept and slept. And I was finally like, okay, Tara, I want to go run at the fair race. She was like, oh, you want to enter now? And I was like, yeah, I want to enter now. So I went.
And they were like probably 50 from the end when we walked up there. Thank God they still
They had a big drag, thankfully. Yeah. And I went and I entered us up and Venmo'd our entry fees and went ahead and saddled up, got ready.
And I will tell you, what's it called?
What?
Fallon and her friend. Let me look.
High Stakes.
High Stakes Productions. That's right. So it's Fallon. I think her last name
is Jordan. Yeah.
Fallon Jordan. Well, Fallon Riley Jordan is what she is on Facebook, just so y'all know. And she was amazing to deal with. She is super nice. The ground was phenomenal at Midland. The stall accommodations were good. Carrie Hill Goodwin is the name of the lady that also is High Stakes Production. Yes. So shout out to Carrie and Fallon, because I honestly feel like they were very professional. They were very accommodating, because I didn't have Rodeo Go on my phone. I didn't know that was a thing. So I was like texting them or inboxing them on Facebook, and they replied and they helped me set up Rodeo Go. And it was just, they were just very, very, very accommodating, because we were trying to get stalls at the last minute. I mean, we just weren't super, it's not that we weren't prepared. You just have to remember, we've never been over here and done this before. So,
yeah. And for people that also don't know, I use PHT like religiously.
I don't think their product's any better than Benefab.
Well,
I don't. Or XLR.
I just like the fact that they have more lake products. They have lake products.
I'm not a PHT fan at all. I think it's the most expensive.
But
it's the most expensive product on the market, and it's no better than the other products on the market. That's my problem. I think that they're a good product. I think the other products are good products, but I think when you put two products side by side and they're pretty much the same product and one is double the price of the other, it only makes sense to go with the cheaper product when at the end of the day they work the same. I mean, I think that Benefab and the new XLR sheets are really, really good, but XLR doesn't offer any leg wraps yet. Benefab does, though. They have a variety of leg wraps.
So yeah, what Charlie are just kind of like back on track. They're not.
Yeah, but that's, I like compression. So
yeah,
I'm a big fan of compression. I still like standing wraps. I think that a lot of the difference that people think they see in leg wraps is just the compression. Anytime you put compression on something, it's going to be smaller.
Yeah.
Swelling's going to go down. And you don't even have to have a magnet for that to happen.
But the gist of it is that Fallon is a PHT dealer as well.
I'm sure she probably is. Shout out to her. Like I said, though, my problem with PHT will never be the quality of the product. I think they're great quality, but I think they're expensive. I think they're expensive when there's other products out there. And that's what gets me in trouble, is people want me to always save face and say that I like things, and I'm just too fucking honest. I guess that's why I have a podcast and people listen. Like, Charlie's over here like, I have everything PHT. And she does. She has gone and spent her hard-earned money. And she has hawk wraps, bell boots, regular wraps. She's got the blanket, the hood.
the pull packs.
She's a PHT person. I will say I do like their pull packs.
I've seen a difference in my mare.
Oh yeah. Let me say this. I hands down believe that magnetic products are a benefit. I'm not saying their products don't work.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is they are very expensive.
When there's a competitive market and something cheaper that works the same.
Right. Like, as of the point that there's a competitive market. And what I don't like is when two products that are the same bash each other. And I can't stand that, because they do. Like, and it's not the companies themselves. It's reps and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you'll see them on there arguing about how Benefab is better than PHT because of XYZ. No, PHT is better than Benefab because of XYZ. And I want to be like, ladies, it's just like PEMF people that fight each other.
And don't even realize that it's the different companies were a husband and wife that divorced.
Yeah, so the PEMF machines, I have one. Did you know that they're pretty much all manufactured in the same warehouse? They're just packaged differently. So at that point, if you have a MagnaWave or you have a PEMF Complete and you're bashing the other one, they're the exact same thing. They're just packaged differently, but they're manufactured in the exact same manufacturer, which means the same place makes them, and they just slap this label and bucket on one and this label and bucket on the other.
Now, I will say, though, that the actual company, the different owners are what make the machines different, because there is one brand, and I'm not going to throw them under the bus. They do not warranty their loops or anything, like, from...
What machine was that? I don't give a shit.
I do.
I don't.
What I mean, MagnaWave, they don't...
They I don't know anything about them.
No, so. They don't stand behind, like, their loops or anything.
Oh, I don't
like
know. I mess with Mary Pinkerton. Mary Pinkerton is who, like, I'd be like, girl, I fuck with Mary Pinkerton. That's who I fuck with. But I'd be sounding awful ghetto, so I better just say, I mess with Mary Pinkerton. I really like her. She owns PEMF Complete. She's from Arkansas. And I'm just going to tell you, like, I texted her yesterday because my machine wouldn't, like, turn on at first for a second. And I don't know if it was super cold or if...
It was because you didn't have the power strip thing turned on.
Well, still, I was like, hey. And she was like, uh-oh. I mean, her response was, uh-oh, let me know if you have any issues. I'll get you the thing in the mail, just like a label to send it back.
Yeah.
So, like, all I have to do is send my machine back. And she even said that they would send me a replacement machine while mine was being worked on, like a rental.
Yeah.
So, and then I text her back and was like, I'm just a goof. Don't, like, veto, X-nay everything I just text you. And she was like, what happened? And I told her, actually, in the beginning, it wasn't the power strip. It was before that part, where I plugged it in. The breaker, like, the
flipped. Oh,
it was popped out. And then, so once I popped that in, then the power strip came on. Yeah. Like, so anyway, long story short, I thought I had shorted out my machine, and I had not. So, but, you know, and I didn't know that Fallon was a PHT rep, but if you do want PHT products, contact Fallon, Riley Jordan on Facebook. I'm sure that I'm at the end of the day, I am sure that they have been around a long time and their products probably fit as good as anybody's products. I hear a lot of people say the reason I stay going with PHT is because of the fit of the products. And so that's a great thing. If you like the way their products fit, great. For me, when I bought my magnetic sheets, I bought 5 of them at one time. So you have to understand I spent over $1,000 in sheets.
Yeah.
And the way I looked at it is I owned 2 PHT sheets. And I put them online used for $4.25 each. And they sold so fast because I guess they were the new style.
Mm-hmm.
So they sold really fast. So I got $850 and I was able to literally buy almost four of the other brand for what I got for those two used. That was the way I looked at it. Like, I think when I called XLR Sheets or whatever and said, hey, I want to buy 5 sheets, what kind of a deal will you make me? They were like, we can do free shipping, and like right now we have a discount code for the, I don't remember what holiday it was, maybe it was like Cowboy Christmas or something. So they're like $280 maybe, and then they had like a 20% off coupon for Cowboy Christmas.
Yeah.
So I paid like $225 a sheet for mine.
Yeah.
I mean, so you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's, and they're also, they're like that. They're the, mm-hmm. they're not just magnetic, they're also
the ceramic
material.
Yeah.
So that's my point, I guess, was I feel like when you haul as many horses as I do, now if you have just one and you want everything to match, but it's also like Louis Vuitton. So let me just sit here and say, as I'm like, I'm not that girl. I'm not going to go buy the PHT stuff because I'm not going to pay those prices. In the same breath, what makes them also valuable is there are people out there, there's lots of girls that want everything to match.
Yeah.
They want this specific horse to have all black with red squares or Hawaiian squares. So they also capitalize on catering to the bougie genre of barrel racers.
Me.
And that's okay.
Because all mine match.
That's right. So what I'm telling you guys is you have two girls in the truck, and Charlie and I honestly can't be more different. So you're going to always get two very different opinions from us. Like, Charlie will go pay three times. How much was your magnetic sheet?
Well, I got mine, like, mine were like yours. Mine were essentially new, but they were used and they just wanted them gone. I think they kind of needed the money more than they needed the sheet. And so I got mine for like $420 a piece.
Your sheets?
Yeah.
So you bought yours used too?
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually had won mine. So... Mm-hmm. I won both of mine at barrel races and had really, I mean, that's what I had won them. So
I bought blues from one girl and I bought bunnies from Canyon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which Bunny won't be able to use hers much longer because she's finna be knocked up.
Yeah. So I won mine, which is a good thing. I mean, and you have to remember, it's a good thing to go to barrel races that want to give you those kind of prizes. Because if you happen to not want to use it, at least you have something. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I probably only won $500 at the barrel race, but I won two PHT sheets. I just happened to go somewhere and Tequila won the 2D and Petra won the 3D, and the winner of each D got a PHT sheet. And it was just...
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they were 80s, so they were big.
Yeah.
They were big. For those mares.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Well, because the 80 and PHT is probably like a 76.
Eight. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like a 76 blanket, truly.
Oh, see, I never even put them on. I just assumed that they were giant.
Oh, no. So PHT sizing, like Blue's PHT sheet is a 74, but she's a 69 regular blanket.
Huh.
Yeah. And her hood is a large, but really and truly she wears a size small, slinky.
Yeah. Huh. See?
Who knew? Their sizing is off. So you could have used them, but...
Yeah, but like I said, I really like the XLR8 sheets. I mean, I've seen a big, big difference in them, and I have a bunch of them. So I better believe it, almost as many of them as I have.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I do like that Charlie and I have such different opinions. And the good thing about our, I guess, podcasting is one thing that you'll notice is even if we don't agree on something, neither one of us is weak. Which means by the end of the podcast, like, we can agree to disagree is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Like,
and Charlie, not want to, like, slit each other's throats.
We take nothing personal. And at the end of the day, the things we agree on, you know they're bomb as fuck because we are so different. So if we both like it, get that. Because two completely different people who do things completely different like that and things that we don't agree on, this entire podcast, you'll never hear either one of us get overly offended. Like, Charlie isn't going to go home and sell her PHT stuff because I don't believe in it. Like, that's what I like about...
But we've already had this discussion privately a couple times before.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, my sister also is a PHT fan. My sister, Kaylee, she likes PHT stuff, but my sister also likes it because she just likes the matchy-matchy. Like, that's her thing. She's like, well, I just like everything to match.
Well, I mean, originally, because, you know, they have, like, the knockoff Benefab ones, but they're literally... just the magnets, and they're like $100. I think Tough One makes them, maybe. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, I bought hoods and blankets from Schneider's, SS Tack, and they're magnetic blankets and magnetic hoods, and I kept them because last year a couple places I went, I took somebody with me that didn't have magnets anything. And I just told Charlie who it was, so Anyway, so when we got ready to load, all of my horses had, like, their magnetic blankets on.
Yeah.
And I just kept, I originally, like...
The Duratec ones?
The Duratec.
Yeah.
Well, they, the sheets say SS Tack on the sheets.
Do they?
Mm-hmm, but they're from Schneider's.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've kept them just simply because I felt like when I have somebody haul with me that maybe can't afford those things... But I don't want them to feel left out. I'd be like, oh, hey, I've got an extra magnetic sheet, like, here. And it, I don't know. Like, I could just tell that the person that went with me last year, they were like, oh, my God. Oh, wow. Like, I've never used magnets before on my horse. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's just me being... I was the person when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, when I was riding jumping horses and I had just got into barrel racing, who, like, had no money. And anytime I got in with people and they had all kinds of fancy stuff, I always... I didn't have any of those things, which, not that it's their responsibility to provide them for me. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I thought it was cool to be able to be like, hey, I've got two magnetic blankets and two magnetic hoods hanging in the tack room. Like, if you'll walk in there and get them, you can put them on your two horses if you want to. And of course they did. They were like, hell yeah. You know, like, so that's why I've kept those around. But I will tell you, they don't have the ceramic in them, but... I have had some body sore horses. Charlie's picking her nose.
Why did you call me out like that?
Because you just dropped a bugger.
That's why I said oops. You're not supposed to acknowledge the fact that it happened.
So, anyway, I will tell you that I kept those so that anytime anybody goes with us that doesn't own magnetic products wants to go, they can deck their horse fully out in all magnets and look like they belong. And their horses aren't standing at the trailer tied with everybody else's horses covered in magnets and theirs aren't. So.
Yeah. But like I said, you know, I started off with a $100 knockoff Tough One that was just magnets. But I did that to, you know, see, like, does it make a difference?
Yeah, it
and
does.
It did kind of make a difference. But the thing that people also fail to realize is they want immediate difference.
Oh, yeah. No,
and with the magnets, it's gradual therapy. So the more you use it, the better it does for your horse.
Another thing that we have found that, I mean, Charlie and I have found since I do have a PEMF complete machine. If you guys are interested in one, they have rentals, they have financing, they have... I originally was purchasing an Apollo, and right now I just have the Mini Traveler 5 because the Apollo, when I first was getting a machine, it wasn't ready yet. And I have yet to stop using my machine long enough to send this one back and upgrade it. But we use it just about every day. We prefer the machine to everything else out there, just so y'all know.
Yep.
As far as feet go, I have a Centurion hoof pad, which is also PEMF.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the little Centurion box. So if I have sore feet.
Yeah,
I
saw it in the...
Yeah, if I have sore feet, I do the Centurion hoof pad. I don't have any of their other... I do. I have their front... I have their front leg wraps.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like an older... I mean, I've had those since I trained racehorses.
Yeah.
And they work. I mean, it's just a lower frequency. You have to use it every day. But what we have found is if you PEMF your horses and then you put the ceramic and magnet therapy on after, it seems like it makes the PEMF last longer. Like, they stay feeling better longer.
They wanted to do a study on it. I just don't think they actually have yet.
I don't know that they have. But I've been... So, I will tell you this. If you guys buy a PEMF machine or if you lease one... From PEMF Complete, it comes with a training course that is done by Kathy. Her name is Kathy Kane Thomas. And I'm just telling you right now that that's the most brilliant lady in the world. She is brilliant. She's also my friend. But I didn't know her as a friend until after I went to the training course there. And I took horses with me. And I'm just telling you, between me and you, as I've gotten to know her, she's one of the kindest, nicest, most amazing women in the world, and she's a brilliant horseman. So I'm a big fan. I'm so thankful she's my friend, and now she's hopefully gonna be our neighbor.
Yeah. Ball.
Yeah.
Oh, and then we've got the TheraPlate, and then
I have
got
a TheraPlate,
the massage gun.
Yeah, well, we both have them. But I have the I have a massage gun, but it's ours. But I do have an Equisager.
Equivibe.
Equivibe, yeah. No, Equisager. Mm-hmm. Equivibe is the other kind of plate.
Oh.
Yeah. It's called a equisager, actually, I think, but whatever. So, I will say that this trip has been a good trip.
Yeah.
And Charlie and I have had a really decent time, actually.
Yes.
I don't think that anything has been...
We both want to check at Jackpots.
Yes, Charlie wanted to check in Midland, and I want to check last night in Odessa. I don't know how much.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm actually proud. I know it sounds bad. Like, I'm pretty competitive. So for me to be in the 40 is not anything to write home about. I've obviously had much better horses than that, and I've had much better runs than that. But I feel like, man, I think I just feel good that I'm going again.
Yeah.
And I feel like to go in there and to make such a solid run, my barrels were beautiful. She was working.
Yeah.
So I think that that makes you feel good to have like a beautiful run and there's nothing
that you can pick apart about.
That I can pick apart except for I'm not going fast enough and she's got 50 gears left. Like people were commenting on my video. Holy shit, when she ran out, she was like kicking in gears. And I'm like, yeah, she's got like 90 more. Charlie ran her one time at Marshall and came out and was like,
whenever
that's the fastest
horse.
Whenever I ran
out, I had tears in my eyes and I was like, okay. And I don't know how many people have been to Marshall, Texas to their arena, but their alleyway is like, they have a holding pin like a third of the way from the mouth of the alley. But the alleyway in its entirety is like a freaking football field long.
Yeah.
So, and that you don't run to a closed gate at any point.
Did she take you to the warm-up pin?
She took me to the warm-up pin and then was like, I'm going to make a lap. Kind of like Glow did me.
Mine are notorious for that. I was a little worried yesterday that she wouldn't stop coming out and duck the door. That little tiny door. My horses don't stop coming out good.
Blue.
Like, I don't own anything. Do I run before you or after you?
You run after me. So,
I'll
that's going to be our saving grace. But I don't want Blue to mow you over either.
Oh, I watched a girl yesterday was standing. One girl was standing back by that door.
Yeah.
On her horse with it facing the door. And the girl that came running out ran up there. No. The horse that was standing 2 foot kicked and kicked it in the chest. And it was like loping and got nailed. And I was like, man, that was a bad accident. Like, I know it hurt. It had to have hurt the horse that got kicked. But the girl that was on him is so freaking lucky it didn't kick her in the cannon bone. Or the shin bone. You know what I mean?
People have shins.
Yeah, it's the shin bone. Like, she's lucky because, I mean, we don't think about that kind of thing, though. And I don't think that the horse that kicked was bad. I think he was just standing in a crowded area and a horse ran up on him.
Yeah.
You know, like it
I
was
mean,
just
Blue's
a,
not a kicker, but if a horse runs up on her, she will 2 foot.
Well, don't
donkey
stand
him
in the middle back there because they run up on you.
Noted.
You can either go to the left or the right. And I was very, I was really impressed, though. I'll tell you something. Compared to the jackpot crowd, the girls that rodeo are a lighter crowd as far as personality. Like, they're there for business.
Yeah.
And it's just a different vibration. It's not... I mean, all people can be a shitty person in private, don't get me wrong.
But, you know, with jackpot people, they forget, like, there are people here taking this seriously. This isn't just their weekend hobby. Whereas here, this is these people's livelihoods. It's taken seriously. It's not, you know, they're not loping circles and cutting you off and in your way and laughing about it. You know,
nope, they're
like they are
everybody
at the jackpots.
Nope, it's a completely different they say, like, hang out with winners, the conversation's different, and I've always kind of laughed at that because I've seen people that are winners that are shit fucking human beings and the conversation isn't any different in private. But I will say that when it comes to competition and you show up to a barrel race, like, when you show up to a barrel race, it's just a more hobby crowd.
Yeah.
Like, it's a more hobby crowd, and they're more insecure, and their insecurities show. Like, their insecurities show just in the warm-up pin and being around them. You know, they want to be snarky and...
Yeah, and then there's me, too. Like, even all my tack matches and So people like look at me with my freaking sparkly purple and blue Angora tech set, and they like side eye me, and then I go in and I spank them.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh.
Well, Charlie is a little bit exuberant.
And my mare is itty bitty, and like people sleep on her, but
she's a nice mare.
She gets you.
Yeah, she's a super good mare. I mean, Charlie ran 12th in the 1D, and there was 300 of the toughest horses anywhere. I mean, I don't think that you can be upset with that mare. That's a nice horse. She's come a long way. A long way in the last 3 years.
I
mean,
even if I fall off of her today, I'll be proud of her because we're
she's come a long way in the last 3 years. You better not fall off.
I've already put it into existence in the universe. I'm winning a check today, so.
Yeah.
It's happening.
That's right. We've been working on our manifesting. Well, you guys, we are like one block away.
Yeah. And we know how to get in this time.
We know how to get in this time. And I am going to be really honest. I'm excited about today. I don't know. I mean, I guess I just know that my mare's going to work. So that takes 90% of the stress away. All you have to do is just get faster.
Yeah.
That's not hard to do when I loped yesterday. And it's nice to be a second and a half off of the caliber of horses, because I'm going to tell you guys, the rodeo is being won with a 14-1 and a 15-0 is placing. Now, I mean, that's going to change drastically after today. That'll change. But you have to understand that 14-1 is pretty damn fast on the rodeo ground. And yesterday, a 13-9 was ran. So it's also different when you're in a jackpot and the atmosphere is a little bit different and the ground is a little bit better. So will there be a 13-9 during the rodeo? Oh, absolutely there might be. But yesterday was a lot faster, I think, than normal, I think, than what the rodeo will be. But I don't know. I mean, I just have seen them run jackpots before rodeos, and the jackpots are always won with times faster than what could have won the barrel race. And I hear people say, oh, well, you should have entered the rodeo. But the rodeo is a different atmosphere. The feeling, the vibration is different. The competition is different. The stress level is different. And a lot of those people and a lot of those horses, I don't know who won yesterday, so please don't think I'm speaking on anybody that placed yesterday. But I'm saying, because I have not looked at the 1D, but I can tell you that a lot of horses that can lay a run down at a jackpot sometimes can't handle the pressure of the pro rodeos, because the pressure turns different. The rider's pressure feels different. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I just have always kind of thought that. So, and not only do I think that the pressure can be a little different, I also think the ground is different. So let's not forget that.
And then too, like sometimes those pro girls run their horse, you know, at the jackpot and then turn around and run them for the rodeo. And that's why I didn't enter yesterday, is because Blue is a badass, yes, but she's honest by her faults. So I know if I went in there yesterday and then tried to come in here today, she would have cheated me between the first and second. She's better when she goes in blind.
Yeah,
and so I didn't run.
She gets short.
Yeah, I didn't run her yesterday because I didn't want her to short me today. And so that's...
What is this person?
I don't know what they're doing. And, you know, and so sometimes that happens. You know, the rodeo girls, they go in there and they run the jackpot the night before, and then their horse
What is she
like,
thinking?
I have no idea.
We are literally driving behind the biggest idiot I've ever seen in my life.
But, you know, their horse goes in there and they think they know what they're doing, and so they cheat the rider. And so they might have run a half second faster at the jackpot than they did at the actual rodeo. And so it's just a matter of knowing when to make your runs count.
Yeah.
And important. A lot of people fall short on that.
Well, for me, I just needed to make runs. So yeah. It didn't... For me, I'm not out here. Sister's not a cheater. That's one of the most honest horses I've ever owned. I quickly am grateful that I did not sell her. Especially not for what she was for sale for. Like, the man has messaged me again after my run yesterday and is like, hey, we're really serious. You know, we really should have just went ahead and bought her, even though she cut her chest. And I'm like, I know. And he's like, so when can we come? And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to take that for her now. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like,
Then they get offended.
He's not. He said, how much more do you think you need for her?
Yeah.
The offensive part is when I probably need triple what you were going to buy her for. I mean, it's just, I bought the mare for nothing, and she had been in somebody's pasture for a long time, and they were buying her based on results from 2.5 years ago, a horse that was barefoot with a little bit of a club foot. Well, now the club foot is complete, like, we have completely grown it out. You can't even tell that it's there. Obviously, I still would tell people, like, hey, this mare, you need to monitor that foot. It can, it's not really a club foot. It just happens to break more than the other. And it only breaks on the inside, so it makes that inside look taller.
Yeah.
But now the foot's completely grown out. The mare is 100% sound. She requires no major maintenance.
Do you have your harness pulled up?
Yes. So it's just hard, like, now that we know all of that, like, you definitely probably should have just taken her with, you know, you should have just, should have just, yes, my Coggins. I forgot. I just took a picture of it to make this this process easier. Okay. I love that it says, like, that she came from. My Coggins was pulled when the vet came out to pull Coggins for horses that we sell. And so my poor mare's Coggins depicts that she may or may not have been from a kill pen in April. I mean, it's been a long time ago, but
it happens. Hello.
How are you?
Good.
How many?
Two.
Here you go. All right, you guys. Well, we are going to cut this short, and we will talk to y'all later.